Welcome everyone to Author Training 101. This is week one of your 8-week course. So I want to welcome you and congratulate you for taking the step to be here, to investing in yourself, and to doing what sometimes is necessary to go from aspiring to published author. Some people just sort of get there on their own. Others need a little help, and sometimes it's accidental, and sometimes it needs to be planned. More often than not, to be honest, to become a successful author today takes a lot of planning. And that's what this course really is about. It's about planning for success. And in the increasingly competitive world of publishing, both nonfiction and fiction authors need to do a lot of planning to get to that point of success. And it takes more than just a good idea and good writing skill. It takes a particular attitude that I call author attitude, and it takes the ability to evaluate yourself and your idea through the lens of publishing professionals. And that doesn't matter if you want to self-publish or you want to traditionally publish. You still need to be able to see yourself through the lens of acquisitions editors and agents, because these are the people who typically would evaluate your work if you wanted to be traditionally published. But even if you want to self-publish, being able to see yourself through that lens is important, because they know what creates a marketable book. And you want to be able to know if your idea is marketable. They also evaluate authors or aspiring authors to determine if they have what it takes to succeed. And you want to be able to do that for yourself. You want to be able to look at yourself and know if you have the qualities that are necessary to succeed as an author, whether you're going to traditionally publish or self-publish. So that's the goal of this course, is to train you to have the attitude that's necessary to be an author today, and to train you to evaluate yourself through the same lens that publishing professionals use, and to evaluate your idea through that lens. So welcome, and again, congratulations to Author Training 101. And I am Nina Amir. For those who don't know me, I am the author of How to Blog a Book, which was published by Writer's Digest Books in 2012, and I am the author of the Author's Training Manual, which will be published by Writer's Digest Books in February 2014. I also have self-published 12 books and workbooks of varying lengths. And I am known as the Inspiration to Creation Coach. I help authors at a variety of levels, both as a developmental editor, as a book and writing coach, as a blogging coach, as a blog-to-book coach, as a proposal consultant and editor, and also as an inspired results coach. So a lot of what we're doing here in this course is in the realm of my expertise. And like you, I was an aspiring author, and I wanted to become a successful published author. How to Blog a Book has been on the bestseller list at Amazon in 3 categories for 16 months. Not always on all 3, but pretty much every day it's on at least one of their top 100 list. So that's what brings me here, is the desire to share with you what I learned about what it takes to create that kind of a book that will sell consistently well. May not be a New York Times bestseller, but a book that's going to sell more than the average number of copies. So let's start there. I'm going to assume that because you're taking this course, you want to be a successful author. And the definition of success that we're going to use in this course is the one that the publishing industry uses. And that relates to book sales. So success for the publishing industry is a lot of book sales. And, you know, bestseller is going to depend on your category. And like I said, my book is not a bestseller by the New York Times standards. But in its category, three categories, it does pretty well. It doesn't sell thousands of copies per month, but it holds its own and it sells pretty steadily. And you know, the most difficult task before you really involves creating a book with above average sales in whatever category you're going to place it. According to Publishers Weekly, the average book sells 3,000 copies in its lifetime, not per year. The publishing industry deems a book successful when it sells large amounts of copies, usually many more than 3,000 copies per year. And those are print books. E-books average about the same number, to be honest. Many aspiring authors think that all they need to do is to produce a successful book or to become a successful author is just that outstanding idea or a sound book in terms of craft or story structure and a well-crafted manuscript. But sometimes those elements are enough, and sometimes you need more than that to create those above-average sales. So one of the things I always say that you need in addition to that is a certain type of attitude, which I call an author attitude. So the difference between simply becoming an author and actually succeeding as an author has a lot to do with attitude if you want to rise above average. And while the number of books published each year is increasing, the number of people and publishers who buy them is decreasing. And that means that the marketplace has become increasingly competitive, and which makes it harder to find readers and publishers if you want to be traditionally published, which I know not everyone wants to be traditionally published. So many writers produce manuscripts or books, you know, and they spend years sometimes writing them and producing them and tons of money and time, and they discover later that they aren't viable products. Because remember, the publishing industry is a business. Publishing is a business, and it's all about products and sales. And so they discover that this book that they wrote and produced is not a viable product. It's not selling to readers or to publishers. And I don't want that to be you, which is why I'm so glad you're here. Because I don't want you to spend your time and effort for nothing. So with these facts in mind, you know, it's not any wonder that along the way some writers discover that they aren't cut out to produce successful books, ones that do sell to lots of readers and to publishers. And they might discover this after they've self-published or traditionally published their books, or maybe while they're trying to publish them, or maybe while they're exploring other options. You know, as they learn about the publishing industry and some of these statistics, they may discover that this just isn't right for them. You know, maybe they're unwilling to learn the necessary tasks, or they can't or don't want to hire someone to help them do those tasks, or they simply don't want to compete in the industry or the marketplace. And there are a lot of tasks. It's not just about writing. And that's what we're going to be learning in this course, is that you have to wear a lot of hats. You can't just be a writer. You have to be a business person. And being a business person means marketing and promotion, and it means and with that comes social networking. And we're going to be talking about the business plan. I mean, it's so much of business. It's not just being a writer. So a lot of writers don't want to do that. And maybe, you know, these other writers who give up, they have other commitments, like family or real jobs. And maybe all of you on this call have the same. Writing may not be the only thing you do. And so these writers may decide that they'll write books that sell an average or below average amount of copies because that's all they can do, which is fine. Now, others decide the path to publication is just too long and arduous because it can be hard, it can be expensive, it can be time-consuming, and they leave their dreams of becoming authors behind and choose different paths. They just give up. And there are other aspiring writers who are left wondering how, despite these facts, their situations and the often harsh and competitive publishing industry environment, how they can change their status from aspiring not just a published author but to successful published author. And they're not put off by the obstacles or the facts presented or even by what life throws their way. These particular writers, these particular aspiring authors cling to something else that they've heard, which is that now is the best time in history to become an author. And they're willing to do whatever it takes to produce that saleable book, that viable product, that marketable book, and to publish it and to promote it until it sells well. They're determined, they're persistent, and they're perseverant. They have the essential characteristic of a successful author. They have that author attitude. And I think that those of you here in Author Training 101 have that too. In fact, I know it because you're in the course. You're seeking out information to help you succeed. And that shows that you have many of the qualities that you're going to learn about. So, again, I commend you for being here. Now, if you aren't sure that you have this attitude, don't worry, because the training process that you're about to embark on is going to teach you how to develop any of the characteristics that you don't have or that you're weak in. And it's also going to help you produce a marketable book. Okay, so all of that is going to come from being in this class. Okay, so let's take a closer look at author attitude and the word attitude itself. So attitude is really a position that you assume for a specific purpose. It's a mental position. A mental position with regard to a state of being. And it can be a state of readiness to respond in a certain way to a particular stimulus or to a situation. So if you want to be a successful published author, you actually want to consciously take a mental position or to adopt or choose a particular attitude that's going to help you achieve a particular state of being, which in this case is successful authorship. You want to be ready to respond to your book idea and to every situation that comes up that's related to it with this successful author's mindset, because attitude is really a lot like mindset. So basically, you want to develop an attitude that will allow you to always respond in the way you choose so that you can achieve the results you want. And indeed, your attitude makes a huge difference in the results you achieve. In fact, an author attitude in particular is going to help you achieve this successful authorship, which is that result. That's the result you're looking for. So what does this author attitude consist of? It has four primary characteristics: willingness, optimism, objectivity, and tenacity. So again, you may possess one or more of these characteristics already. You may not possess any of them. You may feel you display some more than others. As you go through this course, you will train yourself to have all of them. Now, I've arranged all four of these in an acronym that's easy to remember. It spells the word WOOT, W-O-O-T. So willingness, optimism, objectivity, tenacity, W-O-O-T. So you've probably heard the word. People are always saying woot, woot. And woot came from a hacker term that meant administrative access to a computer. Well, I always think of this, the computer as your brain. So the first thing is that, you know, you're getting administrative access to your own mind. And that's really important, as you're going to see, because this has a lot to do with how you think and how you believe. then it went from there into the gamer's world, and it became truncated into WoW loot amongst the Dungeons & Dragons users. My daughter didn't even know this. She was a big Dungeons & Dragons player, and she didn't know that. And so I love this because, of course, if you're a successful author, hopefully you're going to make some money. So, you know, we hope that as you succeed as an author, you will be able to say, woot, woot, I made some money. But in addition to that, it's also, you know, we hope that, or I hope that, you know, as you go through the course, you're going to get excited about your success and the things you're learning and that you will become a successful author. And so you will be able to put that little fist up in the air and yell, woot, 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 because you are, you know, actually achieving something and getting excited about all the things, you know, that you are achieving and the success that you're obtaining and that you're getting the results you wanted. So let's go through each one of these a little bit more carefully and look at them closely, because each one is really important to the course and to what I want you to be working on. Okay, so willingness. To become a successful author, you really need a general willingness not only to change and grow, but to take a look at your old attitudes and actions and behaviors and thoughts and decisions and beliefs and habits, because they've only gotten you as far as you are today. And if you aren't already a successful author, or you're not getting your writing done, or you haven't landed an agent, or whatever it is, then they're not serving you, and you have to look at that. So they're only, you know, you only have achieved the results today that, you know, based on your current thoughts and beliefs. So you may need to change them. So you want to be looking at that. You want a new level of success as a writer and as an author. And so the likelihood is that something has to change. And you have to be willing to change. Change is hard. Nobody likes to change. And so willingness is huge in this process, because you have to look at what's holding you back and what is stopping you from achieving your results and from getting where you want to go. But additionally, you have to be willing to change anything and everything about your book idea. Because if you want to have a successful book, so the first part is about becoming a successful author, right? Because your beliefs and thoughts and attitudes and actions might be holding you back from becoming successful. But that also holds you back from producing a successful book. But you have to be willing to change your book idea if it turns out that your idea is not a marketable idea. You have to be willing to look at the story and characters and subject and angle and theme and purpose and audience, the market, all of that, to see whether you need to alter your idea in any way. And if you're not willing to make those kind of changes, then there's a problem. And the problem is that your book's not going to get any better. So you really have to be willing to make the changes that are necessary. And you also have to be willing to cycle through this process we're going to be going through in the author training. There are 9 steps, and at any given time, you may have to go back to the first one to again review something, or to the second one and review it again, because it's a constant cycling through the process to see what might need to be changed based on new information that you've gained. So all of that takes willingness. Optimism. So optimism, you know, you can call it faith or positive thinking or positive psychology. It doesn't really matter. But you need optimism to be successful as an author, because you have to see everything that happens to you in along the way as pushing you closer to your goal of successful authorship. So even rejection is a way, you know, you have to start looking at that optimistically, you know, instead of pessimistically. It has to be something that's giving you an opportunity to improve your idea and to make you a better writer or author. You know, negative people, it's proven that negative people actually respond to things in such a way that they feel that that they can't change things. Whereas, you know, they think it's the end of the world, that that, you know, pessimists is more often will more often react to an event by either ignoring it or assuming they can do nothing to change the results. So a pessimist is going to take a rejection and say, there's nothing I can do about it. Whereas, you know, or an editor saying that the book's no good and saying that they can't do anything about it. But an optimist responds to disappointments like a rejection or an editor saying the book needs to be fixed or is bad or whatever by formulating a plan to actually, you know, make it better or asking other people for help or advice. So they don't get stumped. They don't get stopped in their tracks. They actually find a way to move forward. And that's why you need to be optimistic, because there are lots of reasons along the publishing path to be negative and to get stopped. So the optimistic attitude is actually going to help you achieve the results you want, to achieve positive results. Okay, objectivity. This one's huge, because to become a successful author, you need to see yourself and your work objectively. Not only that, you want to see it from a different perspective, and that perspective that we were talking about earlier is the perspective of a publishing professional. Because if you can see your work and yourself from through the lens of an acquisitions editor, who is the person who would acquire a manuscript to be published by a publishing house, you can then determine if your work is publishable, if it is marketable, which means it would sell. And you can also look at yourself to see if you are a savvy publisher, if you have good skills to promote your work and to be a good business person or publishing partner, and all of that. And so you need that kind of objectivity. You also need the objectivity to really be able to look at your own work and see if it's any good, to not be so attached to it that you can't determine, you know, to take other people's critiques and see the truth in them, or to critique it yourself. So you have to be able to distance yourself from your idea. You have to be detached so you can receive and hear and act upon criticism. And you also have to be objective enough to look at your project from the perspective of a consumer, because it's not about you. It's really not. In the end, it's about the reader. And that's what's going to make a marketable book, is when you can put yourself in the position of the reader. So objectivity is just huge. That's really how you're going to produce the marketable book, is to have objectivity. And tenacity. To become an author, you really have to be willing, there's that word again, to do whatever it takes for however long it takes to reach your goal of successful authorship. And that means determination, persistence, and perseverance. You need all three of those, which add up to tenacity. And that means that you will, you know, that all of these things will carry you through to successful authorship. It means that you don't give up no matter what. It means that you love what you do so much, that you love writing, you love being an author, you're the prospect of being one, that you are willing to do whatever it takes, if for however long, until you reach your goal, that you are passionate, that this is a calling for you or a sole purpose, that you're going to keep doing what needs to be done until you succeed, that you just, you know, failure is just not in your vocabulary. And so all of this comes together to create an author attitude. But author attitude really is something you choose, and that's why you can train to have it. It isn't something that necessarily, you know, just happens upon you. I mean, some people seem to just have it, but it is something that you choose to have, and you can choose to develop it. So, you know, and this has been proven in studies that we can choose this, and your attitude is also based on your beliefs, and your beliefs affect your decisions. And so you're going to see this a lot through the course, that or at least in the first part of the course, and in step number one, which we're going to talk about here in just a little bit, that your decisions affect your actions, and your actions affect your results. So, you know, beliefs and you have beliefs which are very closely tied to your thoughts, and whatever you believe affects your thoughts. So during the training, I want you to pay very close attention, especially during step number one, to what you're thinking, what comes up for you as you are going through the process, but also in later steps, what's coming up for you. Because if you have negative beliefs and negative thoughts, those are going to affect the decisions you make. And the decisions you make affect the actions you take. So if you can change your beliefs and your decisions, you will be able to take different actions, and these will change the results that you have. Okay, so just a little bit about training. You know, the fact that this is a training course, an author training, you train in the same. You know, you train for everything the same way. We learn something and we do it over and over again. So that's why there is some repetition in the course about going back, looking again at different things. Basically, we learn something, we try it out, and then we evaluate how we're doing. It's the same with athletes. Athletes do something over and over again. Then they evaluate their progress, or a coach looks at them and tells them how they can do it better. This is the same idea here, that we are just training and constantly evaluating, and you're going to see that there's a lot of evaluating in the course. And in the workbook, you have lots of different exercises you can do to help hone your skills, and then evaluations. So there are certain exercises in the workbook that have been highlighted for you as more important, and then evaluations that are more important. But the more exercises you do, the better you'll get. There are 9 steps in the author training process, and those steps are based upon the nonfiction book proposal. It does not matter if you are writing a novel or writing a nonfiction book. They pertain no matter what. The only thing I'm going to say about that here, because I have written about it in the book, is that the publishing industry is getting very competitive, as I have mentioned, and novelists are being asked in many cases to produce book proposals that are very close to what a nonfiction author is asked to produce. And nonfiction authors are always asked to produce a book proposal when they submit to traditional publishers. But I'm going to discuss with you here in a minute why every author needs a book proposal. But it's not actually a book proposal. We're talking about a business plan. Every author needs a business plan, and that's what I actually should have said. So every author needs a business plan, no matter whether you write a novel or a nonfiction book. And the book proposal is a business plan. And I'm going to go into that in just a little bit. We're not there quite yet. But so right now I want to talk about the author training process and the steps of that, and then we will get into here in a minute how that relates to a book proposal. So sorry, I'm skipping ahead just a little. Or I almost did. So the author training process's 9 steps are as follows. Assess if you have an author attitude. Find out if you know what your book's about and why someone would want to read or buy it. Analyze how many people really might buy your book. Discover if your idea is unique and necessary. Examine the structure for your book. Decide if your book's content matches your initial vision of your book. Rate your ability to create a brand and become an authorpreneur. Weigh whether you're the best person to write this book now rather than later. Gauge if you're a good publishing partner or indie publisher. So those are the 9 steps you're going to go to. And each of those steps is going to require that you evaluate yourself and your book idea. And in the process of that, you'll discover the necessary information, skills, activities, mindsets, behaviors that are going to help you and your book become more marketable, which means publishable. Plus, as you evaluate yourself during those steps, you're going to begin to also see how willing you are, optimistic you are, objective you are, and tenacious you are. you're going to be tested. And so, I mean, not with a test, but you'll be tested, and you're going to see how you measure up. So by the time you finish, you will hopefully have trained yourself to maintain that author attitude, but you also will have produced a business plan for your book, because those 9 steps will help you accumulate the information you need for that business plan. And later you can put all you will put all of the pieces together into that full business plan for your book. And that's going to help you evaluate your work from that publishing perspective, okay? So that, and you'll be able to see your book project from that acquisitions editor's perspective. So that's why we do all that. Okay. So, okay. So let's talk a little bit about why you need this business plan. Basically, when you decide to write a book, you decide to create a business. Whether you produce the book yourself as an indie publisher or whether you ask a publisher to produce it for you, either way, you're starting a business. I mean, if you do it yourself, then you definitely, this is a startup business. If you ask a publisher to do it, this is a, you know, small little part of their business, but you're asking them to be a venture capital partner for you. They're going to provide the funding for your business, and you're still going to be a big part of that. You'll be a publishing partner with them, a business partner, but this is still a business venture. So in the publishing industry, you know, and every business needs a business plan to determine if that business is viable. In the publishing industry, a business plan for a book is known as a book proposal, and that's why I suggest you use a book proposal as the template. And that's why on the site you're going to find a template for a book proposal, you know, in the course. On the course site you have a template, because that's the basis, that's the foundation for a book proposal, a business plan for a book. So, you know, it's a book proposal or a book a business plan for a book provides a conception and evaluation tool as you begin to write your book, or hopefully before you write your book. It's an effective resource for developing the business plan for a saleable book. It's a practical way to produce a writing guide to keep you keep both a creative and a business aspect to your project in mind as you produce your manuscript. And it's as you produce that business plan, as I said, you're going to train to develop the skills and mindset necessary for to be a successful author. So the point here is not to compile the information for your business plan without actually evaluating yourself and your idea, which is what most authors do when they decide to put together a book proposal. Actually, they just put the information together and they don't really evaluate it through the lens of the acquisitions editor. They just put the information together that they know an agent or an acquisitions editor needs. So it's kind of like cutting the corners. So they don't learn anything. So what I want you to do is to benefit from this process by evaluating yourself and your idea. You're going to evaluate your idea for marketability, and you're going to evaluate yourself so that you become the best publishing partner or best indie publisher you could be. So that's really the process. And then you're able to take what you learn, and you're able to make appropriate changes to your book and make appropriate changes to yourself, so that you can succeed. So let's talk about, as I mentioned before when I kind of jumped the gun, let's talk about the difference between a business plan for a book and a book proposal, because I was recently asked this question. What's the difference between a business plan for a book and a book proposal? And it's a really great question, and so I decided it should be answered here in the course. A business plan for a book is based upon a book proposal, and it draws on the same information and contains the same sections. But a business plan is informal, or it can be, because it's used for your own purposes, especially if you're going to self-publish. A book proposal, on the other hand, is a formal business plan for a book that's submitted to and used by literary agents and by publishers. As an indie publisher, you need a business plan for your book. You become the publisher, so you need the same type of document with the same type of information that would be in a book proposal. As an aspiring author, you need a business plan for your book to help you evaluate if you have a marketable book idea and to create a marketable book. To land a traditional publishing deal, you need to take the information from your business plan and then polish it up into a book proposal, which isn't going to be very hard because you already have all the material in rough, informal form. Now, most writers who want to traditionally publish their books, as I said, just put the information necessary into a book proposal, and they don't know how to evaluate it to determine if their idea will produce a marketable book, a product that will sell in the marketplace. They don't know how to look at it from a business perspective. They don't see the book proposal as a business plan. So no matter how you publish, you need to learn to look at the information in the business plan from a business perspective so you can learn to produce a marketable book and become a successful published author. So hopefully that makes sense, that that's why every book needs a business plan no matter how you publish and why you need to produce that plan prior to writing your book. But you also need to learn how to evaluate the information in the plan from the perspective of a publishing professional, because you don't want to write the book and then discover it isn't a viable product, which goes back to what I said at the very beginning. Okay. So, now, let's talk about just a little bit about the correspondence between the sections of a book proposal. I don't want to get into this too much because I will go into it in every section of, in every step, but just so you have a little overview. So, in our first step, number one, we're not talking about any proposal section at all. In step number two, so step number one is assess if you have an author attitude, which we're going to talk about next. So step number two, find out if you know what your book's about and why someone would want to read it or buy it. That corresponds with what would be called the overview. So just so you have, I'm just trying to give you an idea of where you're going with the course, okay? The overview is an overview of your whole book. It'll have a pitch and a summary, and it'll talk about your benefits, okay? In step number three, you'll end up, that's analyze how many people really might buy your book. You're going to be talking about the markets. You're going to look at the markets. You're going to analyze if there's anyone out there who will read your book. So this is you're building your business plan, okay? So you have a summary of your book. You're gonna find out if you know what your book's about and why someone would want to read it, then you're going to discover how many people really might read that book if you actually have a market, and that goes in your business plan. And step number four, discover if your idea is unique and necessary. This would be the same as the competing and complementary titles sections of a book proposal. In your business plan, as I said, it's just called discover if your idea is unique and necessary, because all you want in there is to look at your competition, because you want to know, is my book unique? Is it necessary, or are there too many other books out there already, just like what I want to write? In step number five, you're going to examine the structure of your book. This is where we're going to do some creative work, and we're going to look at the actual, what actually is going to go into your book in terms of content. And you're going to map out your book or create an outline. You're going to actually delve into the content of your book, and then you're going to come up with a table of contents. And that is the list of chapters. That's what it's called in a proposal. In step number six, which is called decide if your book's content matches your initial vision of your book, you will create chapter summaries or synopsis of your book. This is where you really get into the nitty-gritty of what's going to be in every single chapter of your book. You're going to actually really dig down into the content to make sure that you have a book that is marketable. You're going to go back and look at whether this book is going to target your market, whether it really is unique, you know, in terms of the competition you studied. You're going to go back to your overview, to that step number two, find out if you know what your book's about and why someone will want to read it, and make sure you have targeted all the benefits you came up with, whether it is the same as the pitch you came up with. So this is where, as I said, you're going to cycle back through. And step number seven, rate your ability to create a brand and make more money. This is your spin-off section. And this is where you ask yourself if you're going to write any more books. Do you have a series in you, or are there more books that will help you sell books? Because the more books you write, the more books you sell. And then step number eight, you'll weigh whether you are the best person to write this book and whether you should write it now. This is your About the Author section in a proposal. And it's the same in your business plan. And you are going to write your bio. And you're going to write it because you have lots of reasons to have it written, because you have lots of places you're going to use it, including on the back cover of your book. And you also want to write it because you want to compare yourself to the other authors who wrote those competing books that you looked at in step number four. And you want to know how you measure up. And also in that section, you're going to be looking at the author's platform you created, and you're going to decide if you really are ready to write your book now, whether you've created an author platform. So these are the kind of things that will happen in step number eight. And in step number nine, gauge if you make a good publishing partner or indie publisher, you're going to create a promotion plan. And that's what this would be called in a book proposal, promotion. And you're going to decide whether you have what it takes to do the work, the hard work of promoting a book. So those are the steps that you will go through. So in our remaining time, and I may go over just a few minutes here, we are going to talk about step number one. So step number one is your work for this week, and that is to assess if you have an author attitude. And during this step, you evaluate yourself. And in particular, you're going to evaluate whether you know what you want. You really know what you want when it comes to successful authorship, and are you ready to become a successful author? Are you willing to do what it takes to become a successful author? And are you determined, persistent, and perseverant? Do you have that tenacity? Because, as I mentioned, it's not just about a good idea and good writing. So step number one asks you, as I said, to assess if you have an author attitude, and this requires brutal honesty with yourself. So this is a tough week. So not only do you have to cover a lot of territory just in understanding the concepts of the course, but now you have to get really honest with yourself. Because you might believe that you want to become a successful published author, but you have to look at your past decisions, actions, and results and ask yourself whether they reflect that this is true. And you have to ask yourself if you're really cut out for the job. So to conceive a successful book idea, you have to be clear about what you want. This is rarely asked. People, you know, so many aspiring authors say, I want to write a book and I want to be a best-selling author. And they think that's what they want, but they don't really know what it takes. They don't know what it takes. They don't know what it means. They don't know how it's going to change their life. All kinds of things that they don't take the time to look at. So this section of the course asks you to look at that. When you truly want something and you feel willing to work hard at it, you have to tenaciously make decisions and take actions that move you in the direction of your goal. But sometimes your subconscious beliefs oppose what you want and prevent you from getting there, from achieving that goal. A clear lack of understanding about what achieving your goals, what actions you must take, as well as how achieving your goals might positively or negatively change your actions, can actually affect your ability to make progress. So you have to really take a close look at what's going on and what you're thinking and what your beliefs are. and how it's affecting what you do. So if we look at this concept from the perspective of attitude, if you don't know what you believe, for instance, about publishing success or becoming a successful author, if you don't know what it looks like or entails or means to you, you won't be able to decide if it's something you really want to achieve, and you won't be able to take concrete actions, and you won't be able to achieve the results that move you closer to successful authorship. So at the very least, your lack of knowledge could make you afraid, because usually when we don't know something, we're afraid, which also may make it harder for you to achieve what you say you want. Because fear lies at the heart of all kinds of things, including writer's block. So if we're not writing, it may not feel like writer's block, but if we're not sitting down to write, it could be because we're afraid to actually succeed. But when we gain knowledge, we eliminate the fear and we move forward a lot more quickly. So we don't need to, you know, we get rid of that unknown and we become more willing and more optimistic to take the forward steps. And we may find ourselves perceiving situations more objectively and acting more tenaciously. So this is really important. So we have to define our goals in this step. This we are asked to you're going to be asked to define your goals so that you remove uncertainty and you develop an action plan so you can achieve results. And by knowing what you want to achieve, it's going to help you achieve the result, the goal you want. Because sometimes if we don't quantify the goal, we don't get there. And that's like goal achievement number one is to quantify the goal. So you're going to be asked in this step to do that. You're going to be asked to define successful authorship. So you're going to find that the exercises that you have to do now are to actually to write down what it means to be a successful author, to have written a successfully published book, to actually quantify what successful authorship means to you, and actually to ask yourself if that's really what you want, and whether you have what it takes to achieve that goal, and are you willing to do what it takes. So you can not only you're going to create a vision, and you're going to quantify it. You know, this is when I'm going to achieve my goal, and you're going to, by doing all this, by having a picture of it and having a date and time and, you know, and action steps, all of this, it allows you to know where you're going so you can actually get there, and that's really important. Goal setting provides a map for you so that you know how to get where you want to go. You know, Napoleon Hill wrote one of the best books, Think and Grow Rich, and it offered 6 steps for setting and reaching goals. And you're going to find these in my book over and over again, to have a specific goal, to have a time to reach your goal, write down your goal, develop a plan to achieve your goal, and to think about what you're willing to pay to reach that goal. Is a really important one, to think about your goal every day. So, you know, the last thing I want to talk about are these 6 things, because they're not my lessons, but they're really important to the process. You're here because you want to be a successful author. You believe that's your goal, but do you really know what it means? You have to now define successful authorship. And, you know, we've defined it by publishing industry standards so far, above average book sales. But your definition of successful authorship actually may be different, and you have to define it. So you have to come up with a personal definition of success. You have to know what success means to you and to your book. And so to do that, you're going to first write down your goals, and you're going to be specific, and you're going to create a deadline. So your primary goal might be to become a successful author, you know, by the end of the year. And you could then break those goals down into signposts or landmarks, you know, little baby steps. So, you know, finishing your manuscript, or you may, maybe you're going to finish your manuscript in 3 months, and maybe that's broken down into, you know, writing a certain number of pages per day. And maybe you have another landmark, which is to find a publisher by a certain date, and that's broken down into sending out a certain number of queries. Or maybe it's to release your book by a certain, you know, by December 31st, and part of that is finding an editor and finding a designer and also finishing your manuscript. And all of these things are broken down into baby steps or baby goals. You know, your to-do list gets broken down into very small pieces. And you want to have all these goals written down, and you want to look at them often. You can put certain ones on 3x5 cards, you know, the bigger ones, and you can look at them every morning and every evening. So, you know, I am a published author by, you know, I will be a published author by this date. It's actually better to not even say will. You know, I am a published author by such and such a date. Make them affirmations. And look at them twice a day or three times a day. And you're going to create a plan, and that plan is, you know, these broken down baby steps that becomes a plan. So you have action items. So you have, you know, the goal is find a publisher if you're going to be traditionally published, and then, you know, you have action items, research agents, you know, make a list, you know, write the query letter, you know, write my book proposal, get the proposal edited by a proposal consultant, begin sending letters to agents on this date. You know, whatever it is, these are all action items. And this becomes your plan and your map to follow so that you can succeed. And I can tell you this is really how the best way to work. You can't just have it amorphous, just out there, I plan to succeed, and with no real plan. So you have to determine how far you want to travel daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. And with that plan, you're going to get there. I also highly recommend, and you're going to find this in your exercises, that you create an actual vision of success, that you write down what it's going to look like. What is success going to look like for you? And include every possible aspect of that of success in your vision, from you know, what will you be doing once you succeed? Will you stop working? Will you stop writing? Will you write more books? Will you teach? Will you speak? Will you coach? Will you consult? Will you have online courses? Will being an author change your personal life in some way? Will it make it better? This is where you start asking yourself, is it going to impact my relationship for the better or for the worse? You know, will you be able to pursue your hobbies? Will you fulfill your potential? Will it affect your income? You know, how much money would you like to make? And here comes a very important aspect of this as well, is the money thing. You know, you have to be very realistic about money. The financial aspect of authorship can be shocking. Traditional publishing contracts typically don't include what you think. They typically stipulate that the author gets paid just 15% royalties on copies up to a certain number based on net amount received by the publisher on sales to retailers. That's without 15 to 20% you pay to an agent, so that means you're not getting a lot of money. If you self-publish a book on Amazon's CreateSpace or Kindle, or Smashwords or BookBaby, you can earn 70% on each book you sell at a mid-range level. On the other hand, if you choose to use the KDP Select program at Amazon, you have free days or discount your book. You know, you can have free days or discount your book. With coupons, you might earn less. And if you don't have a successful book, you're not selling many books. So, you know, it's worth it to take some time to look at how much you could be earning. You know, and also what you could be spending on designers, editors, PR agents, if you choose, you know, travel. You know, I just gave up a conference gig because it was going to cost me $1,000 out of pocket to just go there and speak. You know, there's all kinds of expenses that you may not think about. And then again, what comes up for you when you think about success? What are your beliefs and thoughts about success? You know, can you achieve it? Are you good enough? What will others think of you? Really, take a minute to think about those things. So you're going to find great value in crafting this vision of success and really paying attention to what comes up for you, for what it, you know, really what you'd like to have out of becoming a successful author. And there are studies that have been shown that creating this vision of who we'd like to be and become has a positive effect on our outcomes. They call it best positive self, and they use it in positive psychology, and it's proven that it can help self-regulate our behavior, help us gain clarity about our priorities and values, help us achieve a positive attitude, help us gain insight about motives and emotions, and reduce goal conflict. And that's all the kinds of things you want to achieve. So don't think that creating a vision is a stupid exercise. It's not. It's really important. And also, there are studies that show that writing about your life goals by imagining a favorable future will help you restructure your behavior, your priorities, your goals, motivations, beliefs, and attitudes. So, really, this is a very important thing to do. You can even visualize your best possible self as a writer or as an author. It doesn't just have to be as a successful author. Imagine your best possible self, you know, in your daily work situation as a writer. But try to be realistic. Don't go overboard. Don't make it something that you feel is totally unachievable, or your conscious mind will have a hard time with that, as will your unconscious. And don't forget to include a deadline. You know, those goals, those quantifiable goals, are going to be very important. And then, just like your goals, read your vision often, a couple times a day if you can. And then I want to go back to this paying a price thing that Hill points out. You know, this is a tough one, but, you know, so many of us say, I just don't have time, and I can't do it, and I have family commitments and or money commitments, and I, you know, this is what holds me back. And this is at the point where you have to say, you know, how badly do I want this? How, you know, and just what am I willing to give up? Am I willing to give up 2 hours of TV every night to sit and write or to promote and get, you know, get on Facebook and social networks, even though I really don't want to do that, but I'm going to do it? This is the point where you just have to ask yourself, what am I willing to do? How badly do I want this? And what will I give up? What price am I willing to pay to achieve my goal? And just work through that. And there are some exercises you're going to find in this first step about payoffs. And I suggest you work with those. And they're not the easiest ones to do. But I suggest you work with the payoffs and you see what comes up for you. Because you're going to find there, you know, what is holding you back? What you're actually gaining by not doing what you say you want to do. And that's an interesting thing, to find out that, you know, by not sitting down and writing or by not promoting, you're actually achieving something. On some level, you're actually getting something you want, and you didn't realize it. So I suggest you really work with that exercise, because it's very interesting to discover that, you know, you say you want to succeed, and yet there's some part of you that doesn't want to, that's afraid of success. And so you, your payoff is that by sitting in front of the TV for 2 hours every night instead of getting up and writing instead, you allow yourself to fail, and that for you is a positive payoff. So take a look at that. Okay, so we pretty much covered everything. Just looking to see what we haven't covered. Finally, I would just say sometimes what it really takes is just committing. Sometimes we just have to say, I'm going to commit to this. And when you commit, you do adopt a different attitude. And I think by just even being in this course, you make a commitment. And if you commit to doing the homework, doing the work of each step, that is going to begin to change your attitude and change your results. So, you begin to feel emotionally compelled to move forward and to make a change. And you're going to feel a sense of accomplishment. And not only that, you will be building that business plan. And that's going to make a change, too. You're going to begin to see how see your project in a different light, and you're going to begin to see yourself in a different light. So the commitment is a huge one. And so, again, pat yourselves on the back for the commitment of taking the class, and then just commit to, once you have that vision and your goals, commit to them. Commit to the vision and commit to the goals. And take responsibility for your beliefs and your decisions and your actions and your results. And don't feel badly about them. Just as a successful author in training, evaluate them and constantly make the necessary changes. Like a pilot who has to do, they call it trim tabbing. They're constantly changing the pilots are constantly changing their path a little bit to stay on course. And that's all you have to do is constantly trim tab to stay on course to get where you want to go. I think that's really it. This is the time for you to do what it takes to become a successful author, and it starts with you. And you've made that decision, and now the time comes to start the training. So I am going to at this point. Stop the recording and wish you luck for the first week. Okay. Anyone have questions?
This is a lot.
Yeah, it was this week was a lot because I had to cover like three chapters of the book in one session, so I apologize.
Now let me ask you, as we go through, this is Marianne, as we go through, I was really riveted by the third chapter, really looking at yourself and evaluating your weaknesses and your commitment level. And is the exercise just to go through and just answer these questions for ourselves, or is this something we turn into you?
No, this is just for you.
Okay.
All the exercises are just for you unless you did the I didn't offer a mentoring this time, so.
Mm-hmm.
One of you, I can't remember which one of you, signed up for the agent review. Who was that? That was Michelle. Okay, so no, it's all for you. This is all
okay.
For you. I mean, if you want at some point to, go over anything with me, that's fine. You can always sign up for a session with me. But this
mm-hmm.
is for you. And if you have questions, mm-hmm. you can ask in the Facebook group. If you really have an issue,
right.
you can email me.
Right. Right. Okay.
But feel free to, I think that anything you're struggling with that you don't feel is enormously personal, bring it up in the Facebook
sure.
group because
sure.
everybody
right.
will benefit.
Right.
And
okay.
This is a heavy, I'm glad to hear you were riveted by the third chapter because it's an unusual chapter. You don't find this in most books.
No, you don't. Well, I felt like just looking at the first two chapters earlier today and then some of the video I listened to today and then the session from last week, a lot of that said the same thing. It was just kind of a review, so I felt like that was familiar. And I had read that earlier or heard that last week. And this was, really some new material for me. I hadn't gotten to chapter 3 before today. So it was just, and I think it's an excellent chapter to really question yourself and really look at your own motives. I think it's important for everybody to do that who really wants to be a writer, wants to be a published writer. So I found it just very, very interesting, and I'm going to spend some time on it.
Thank you. Well, and it's important. There are still so many writers. When I go out to teach or speak, there's inevitably someone at the back of the room, and I think I write about this in the chapter. There's always someone at the back who's like, "Why can't I just write?"
Right.
And it just
you
doesn't
can if
happen.
You want to.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can, but you're just not going to sell a lot of books.
You're not going to be published.
And there's, once in a while there's a book that, mostly novels or occasionally a memoir where somebody writes it and it does just sell itself.
Yeah, it just
takes
off.
But that is just a rare occurrence.
Right, I'm sure.
And then we hear the stories of the novels that are, put up on Kindle and just sell all these copies. But, that doesn't happen that often.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, I can tell you that I know people who put their novels up on Kindle, and the majority of them don't just sell. They're marketing.
Mm-hmm.
The authors are marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Or
right.
The book is marketable.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is really a time to ask yourself, do I have what it takes?
I think you can't fully answer that because you can do the best you can and still somebody else might not like it. You might not find a publisher who likes it or who wants to invest in it. So I think you do have to do your work and you have to market and you have to have confidence. But I think we have to be careful. There are still no guarantees. I think you can do your best and still maybe not find somebody who likes your work.
As far as publishers, that's true, and we can only do the best we can to determine whether we think it's marketable because we're not the publishing professionals, but we can do the best we can based
right.
on the knowledge we have.
Right.
And but in terms of our own willingness, we can evaluate if we're willing to put on all the different hats.
Right.
And do
right.
the jobs
I
that are necessary
that
mm-hmm. are outside the realm of being
in
being
our comfort
a writer.
Zone. Mm-hmm.
Because being an author today is not just being a writer.
Right.
And that's and there's a point in the course where also, when you start looking at promotion and building platform where it's like, okay, go back and redo the section. If you're having trouble with this, you may need to go back and ask yourself again, am I willing
right.
to do these things?
Right.
I like the example that you gave in your chapter about this introverted gentleman who wasn't comfortable doing marketing but decided that, yes, he still did want a book, and so he could blog.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because there are lots of ways today. There's so many ways today. And to be honest, the book tours of the past are kind of, passé. I mean, somebody told me she was going to travel, and she was asking for advice on, getting gigs in bookstores, and I was like, why are you even doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, locally, I'm always happy to go speak at a bookstore locally, but I wouldn't go seeking them out unless I was somewhere anyway. Because it's much, blogging and blog tours and all of that are much more effective.
Right.
So. Okay, so do you have any other questions? No? Nobody? I know
it's
a lot
to digest.
It was a lot to digest. That's very accurate.
Yeah, and I know I did some review, that the first half was, some review of material, but after this we'll just be getting into every step.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
Well, yeah, because from now on every week is a step.
Every week is a step. Okay,
yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was just this week I had to get through the whole, you know, kind of the beginning.
I do have a question. While you're talking, should we be following in the chapter? I had the chapters open as you were going, and I was kind of following along. No?
No.
Okay.
No, and I pull some information out of the chapters, and some of it I don't, so
right.
I don't need.
Right.
Yeah, I use them as my guide. So.
Yes, I was taking notes as well. So.
Yeah, no. No, no need to have the chapters out.
Okay.
No, I basically pull those out, and I go through those to highlight information that I want to draw
sure.
on, and then I elaborate.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And we should have, from now on, we won't have the introduction at the beginning of everybody. Well, I might, the people who weren't here, if they show up next time, we'll let them introduce themselves. But other than that, we won't be having introductions every time. And then we will, it should go faster because it'll just be one step. Like I said, I think there are one or two other weeks when we cover two steps. But for the most part, it's just one step a week. Because now we have 7 more weeks, and we have 8 steps. So yeah, I think there's one week where we do two steps.
And you'll have the chapters up just week by week.
No, the manual should be there. You should be able to read the whole
manual.
Manual's
already there.
Oh, I only have 2 chapters showing, or I guess the 3 chapters that we did tonight, but.
Now, click on where it says manual on the table of contents, and the whole manual should be there.
Oh, maybe I haven't looked at that.
Hold on.
I saw them.
You did?
Okay. Oh, find all chapters here. I see. Okay. I was looking up higher. Okay, so I'm going to test this now.
Yeah, so you can read the whole book at any time.
Yes, I see them. There
and
they
please
are.
Know that it's going to look a lot different than what you're seeing. That was
when it's published, you mean, or what?
Well, yeah, first of all, that was about my third or fourth rendition.
Okay.
But the workbook is going to be at the back, and then I'm not sure how the editor is working that in, but there will be call-outs or something to tell you to go to the workbook at a certain point.
Okay.
And then I know that he has moved some content around, and he has deleted some redundancies, and we also have some examples that will go in, and he's generally cleaning it up. So I'm sure it will be a fair amount different still from what you're seeing.
Okay.
So, you know, you're getting excuse me, a much better draft than the January group got.
I'm sure.
But because they were getting it right off my computer, like. I mean, seriously, like.
Is this your only second time doing this? Was January your first time?
The live version, yes.
Okay.
Yes. I've taught it in workshops.
Sure.
But I have not taught it live like this. And I do have the home study running as well.
Okay.
But I like doing it live, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. It takes time, so it's.
I'm sure it does.
That's why. And I wanted to re-record everything, so I. Thought I would do live again, but anyway. But they got it right off my computer, as in, you know, I would tell them it was it would either be there or I would say it's coming within the week, and they would get it. So it was hardly edited at all. I would just finish and post it. So it was very rough. So you're getting a much better version.
Well, that's very confident of you to just kind of share your, you know, teach from your rough draft.
Yeah, I guess. Confident or stupid, one or the other.
Woot, woot.
Yeah. But I tell you what, it's a great way to get your work done.
It sure is.
You have a deadline and you
have
to
do
it.
Yes, you do. You have to follow your own instructions.
I finished it in 8 weeks and, excuse me. Excuse me. And they gave me feedback.
That's good.
So, and a lot of the quotes in there are from them.
Oh, that's great.
So it worked out quite nicely. And if you guys have epiphanies, as I put them, as you go, you know, any like major aha moments, let me know. because I don't know that the book is so far along that we can't, maybe by 8 weeks it will be too far along.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have major epiphanies that you want to share, you know, you can put them up on Facebook or you can email me.
Okay.
And I can pass them along to the editor and say, oh, you know, I got this great quote.
Mm-hmm.
That somebody, you know, had this aha moment as they were going through the
steps. The best quote I've heard over the years of writing is, tell me what you think of this. And I don't know who said it, but you may have heard it. It says, a writer never finishes his work. He abandons it. Have you ever heard that?
I haven't, but it is kind of true.
It is kind of true. I took a writer's course. Actually, it was the Writer's Digest course probably, I don't know, 15 years ago. And there was an author, there was a published author who was expounding on this and said, if I could go back still and rewrite the books I've written, I would still change them.
Oh,
at
yeah.
At some point, you just have to say, it's done. And I'm
moving
on.
I'm a journalist, so yeah. So I am a big I'm done person.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I had to meet all kinds of deadlines. And
sure.
Stuff. And,
sure.
I had to blog a book. They gave it back to me, and they were like, you have to read this. You know, and you have to give us corrections. You know, I never did. I mean, I was reading it, but I never finished. Because
oh, yeah.
I just couldn't stand to read it again.
Yeah.
And
I
was finding all these mistakes and things I wanted to fix.
No.
It was like I couldn't give them more than 3% or something changes. I was like, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And this book, I have to tell you that, you know, they're about to send it back to me to have me work on it again, and I'm dreading it. I'm like, you just make the changes, and just don't even show it to me again. Just do what you think needs to be done. And
right. You're trying to abandon it. They won't let you.
I know. I'm like, yeah, I'm ready to abandon it. I did my job. Now you do yours.
That's funny.
So, yeah.
I have a question. This is Alice.
Yes, Alice.
On the getting started that we sent you about ourselves. Are you going to be commenting on that at all back to us?
That was just for me so I know who you are.
Okay.
Did you want me to comment on something?
No, I was just curious.
You know, that's so I know who you are.
Okay.
And what you're wanting to accomplish. Pretty much, yeah. So that way when I'm looking at it, I know what you want to accomplish during the training, and I try to make sure we do that. And I can get back to you later and ask you if you did that. And, you know, partway through the course, I can ask you if you need help on anything or, you know, that sort of thing. And I like to know what kind of books people are writing, what they're working on, if we have novelists or we don't, or
mm-hmm.
all of that. So it's mostly for me. But I will probably ask you along the way whether whether you need help with something like I think was it you who mentioned platform?
Mm-hmm.
I think I have them sitting here in front of me.
Yeah.
So
that's the hardest thing to do, I think, is just build your platform.
Yes, it is. It is. Just takes time.
Mm-hmm.
Time and effort. All right, ladies. Well, we lost someone along the way who dropped off. But hopefully we will have more people on the call next time, and I will get this posted, hopefully, within the next 24 hours or so. And know that there are lots of exercises in the workbook, and, you know, pick and choose which ones you think are you know, the ones that say that they are related to the the ones that say they are goal oriented
mm-hmm.
are the most important ones.
Now, when you say the workbook, is that interchangeable with the manual? Is that what you mean?
No.
Or is the workbook something?
The workbook
else?
Is different.
Okay.
When you are on the site, you should, if you go to the manual, you'll see for each chapter there's a workbook step, a workbook section.
Oh, I see. It's okay. I gotcha. Okay.
And usually, or it should in every, when you click on the step, the class for the week, it will say workbook number or whatever.
Yes.
But now it used to be the workbook had just a few things in it, and now I have tons and tons of stuff in it. So do as much as you just pick and choose what you like. You don't have to do all of it. Mm-hmm. But the ones that say goal evaluation or goal exercise, those are the big ones.
Those are the best ones. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, because there's way more there than you can do in a week.
Mm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you read the directions, it tells you that. There are directions. On the very first one, there are directions.
Oh. I see, yeah.
And it basically tells you that.
Okay.
So the more of the exercises you do, the more training you get.
Okay.
And that's how doing the exercises is how you will also, the chapters tell you what to do to build your business plan, but the more of the exercises you do, the more of your business plan you'll build as well.
I see. Okay.
Okay?
All right.
And so this
week
you're not really building your business plan so much as just evaluating yourself.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you.
You're
Thank
very
you.
Welcome. I hope to see you on the Facebook page. Until next week.
All righty.
Okay.
Have a good
right.
week.
All right. Thanks, ladies.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.